For the 10, thank you. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be in church this morning. Hallelujah. Our week sought to point to Sunday in preparation of what the Lord would do today. And I'm excited because God is moving. And I was thinking, as Brother Steve was talking about not turning back, he said it's looking better and better each day. That's true. Heaven is looking better and better each day because this world is looking worse and worse each day. And so we are clearly seeing now the two worlds that we live in. And this world that we are just passing through is becoming more and more ugly and more sorrowful each day. But the world that we are heading to is looking more and more beautiful, more and more glorious. And at my home, I'm ready to make it there. And I'm glad to know that the Lord is on our side this morning. Amen. And He is watching out for us. I want to preach this morning out of the book of Luke, chapter number 19, if you would turn in your scriptures there. Thank you, Michael. Amen. At Southern Ohio this year, it'll be 12 years since I became a Christian. And so I look at it this way. Half of my life I served myself and the devil. The other half I've been serving Jesus, and it's been the better of the halves. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful that the Lord has a keeping power for His people. And we don't have to fall. We don't have to turn away. We know that the Lord is able to sustain us and to keep us from falling. And this morning, though, I feel in my heart directed to preach to anyone here whose heart may not know Christ this morning as your Savior. I can tell you that it will not, thank you, Jason, it will not completely alter your financial status. It will not change the house that you live in. It will not give you a new car. But if you change who is the master of your life, it will transform your life. Those other things, they happen to just be blessings the Lord allows us to have along the way. But I want you to know this morning, if you don't know who Jesus is, my aim this morning is for you to understand that there is a God who is in love with you and wants a relationship with you this morning. I want to preach out of the book of Luke chapter 19, if we could stand this morning. These are familiar verses, but I want to draw our attention back to some of the good things that we can find in the Word of the Lord. Verse 1 says, in the book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 1, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich." I thought it was interesting that this would be on my heart in tax season, but I don't know if your tax collector is going to get saved this morning. But Zacchaeus was a tax collector. The Bible says he was rich. Verse 3, "And he sought to see Jesus, who he was." Notice he wasn't pursuing him for any specific reason. He just wanted to see him. He wanted to find out who this man was. "And Zacchaeus could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for Jesus was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And when he made haste," "and came down, and Zacchaeus received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that Jesus was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner." And this morning, I want to preach on more than interested. More than interested. I have found that we were talking yesterday, Brother Brad and Sister Tricia and Sister Sarah, we were driving home yesterday, and we were talking about how that if you are religious of any kind, then it seems that you are a Christian. That title is so loosely thrown around. But I want to talk to you this morning on being more than interested. More than interested in Jesus just as the man, more than interested in religion, I want you to know that there is so much more than just this surface religion can offer, but there is a divine relationship that you can have with the Creator of the universe and the Creator of your soul who died for you this morning. I'm thankful. Excuse me. I am thankful for salvation this morning. Amen. More than interested. Can we stretch forth our hands and ask God to minister this morning to hearts? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I ask you for your anointing. Father, I pray that you would give me divine direction. Shut my mind up to the truth, Lord, of your word, and allow me to speak forth only the things that you would have me to say. Father, I pray for the altar service, that lives would be changed this morning. God, I pray that you would encourage every believer that is here. And Father, I pray that conviction would fall, that we would see our need of a Savior. Father, if there's one here that doesn't know you, I pray that right now you would begin to deal with their hearts to be saved. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Amen. You can be seated this morning. More than interested. I see some parallels here in this story that I think if we would look around, we would see that the lives of many of those around us could fit into the separate actions of this man Zacchaeus, or Zacchaeus. I believe that we could see some different pursuits that individuals around us have taken in this walk with Christ, or even in just hearing about him. This is a man that is not very well liked. He has stolen. He's a thief. He admits that to Christ. You know, when folks get saved, they change their ways, and he's the first to admit that he had stolen from folks. He had robbed, he had lied, he had taken advantage of individuals. Are we here? There we go. All right. He was not a very nice man. But Jesus was coming to his city, Jericho. We know that when Jesus would come to a place, there was always a crowd following him. And I think that that's there's a good reason for that, is because Jesus was who he said he was. He was God. He was healing folks. The stories were getting out of all of the great things that he had been doing. He had been raising folks from the dead. He had been healing. He had been casting demons out of people. And this man was now coming to Jericho. Well, Zacchaeus is a man of some importance. He holds a position of some power. And so he wants to see this man who is doing these things, or at least who the stories are talking about. But there is a major difference in his desire to see Jesus and the desire of others in the Bible who have also pursued him. You see, Zacchaeus' desire was mere interest. He was interested in the stories. He was interested in the man. Maybe even he considered it a legend. At this time, there would have been oral stories told of other gods, the Greek gods or the Roman gods. And maybe, in Zacchaeus' mind, this was another myth or another story. And so, his interest was merely that. It was just interest. He had no spiritual desire to be changed. Brother Leitner, he did not desire Jesus as the Christ. He only wanted to see him, who he was. There's a lot of folks who are interested, but their hearts are unchanged. There's a lot of folks who are interested, but their interest is merely for storytelling, or their interest is to find out what this man is about. Their interest is nothing more than just a common theme of what is popular today. There are many that sit upon the pew because they're interested in what the church has to offer. There are many that grace the doors of a church because of the clubs or the leagues that their church sponsors. There are many that are interested in the social activities and in the groups that the church offers, but the interest does not leave their hearts changed. It is merely an interest in who he is, but not what he is. And that interest will leave hearts unchanged, and they will never find Christ as their Savior, because they are only interested in what he has to offer. I want to look at some others in the scripture this morning who were interested but left unchanged. The book of Acts chapter 26 says in verse 1, Then King Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered him, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. Verse 24 says, And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before of whom I also speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing, talking about Christ, was not done in a corner. Christ was ministering in the open. This King Agrippa was very knowledgeable of the customs of the Jews. He knew what was going on in his day and his time. The stories had reached to him of the things that had happened to Christ. And as Paul was witnessing, he is preaching a message of salvation and repentance to the court that he is before. And this King Agrippa, he acknowledges him. And he says, King Agrippa, you know these things that have been done. Verse 27, he says, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Verse 28, one of the saddest scriptures in the Bible says, Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. He was interested in what was going on. He was interested in what Paul had to say. But when it all was said and done, he knew what was right. But his heart was unchanged. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. His heart was unchanged. He was interested, but he did not become a Christian. Another story I want to talk about this morning of one who was interested but left unchanged is the story of the wealthy ruler. The book of Luke, chapter number 18 and verse 17. It says, Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He's interested. He's talking to Jesus. What do I need to do to be saved? What do I need to do to make it to heaven? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Here, you've asked me the question, how can you be saved? How can you have eternal life? And I'm going to tell you, sell everything that you have. Come and follow me. Come and follow me. Isn't that the same line he asked the disciples? Come and follow me. Here is an opportunity for someone to be in the company of Christ, to know him, to be amongst those who would be with him when he was doing his ministry. And yet the man said, when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? This man was interested, but his heart was unchanged. I want to talk about more than interested this morning. I mean, I know that in my own life, I was interested in Christ. But there was more to this thing than just hearing a message. There's more to this thing than just listening to a sermon or going to Bible study. It is more than just sitting upon a pew. It is finding out that Christ had come with a purpose. Jesus had come to Jericho and he knew that this man was going to be there. He knew that he was going to be amongst the crowd. And he knew that if he would have come and pressed through the crowd, he would have touched his life just as he had been touching those around him already. There is something to be said about those who have a hunger in their heart and a desire for more of the things of God, to realize that there must be something more to this thing than just religion, and I want to find it. It doesn't matter if I have to press through the crowd. I've got to get it. I am more than interested in Jesus Christ. Second parallel I want to turn our attention to this morning is we see that there are those who are more than interested, but after they become more than interested, they find themselves a place of comfort. They're comfortable. Verse number 4 says in the book of Luke, chapter 19, our text, "And Zacchaeus ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see Jesus, for he was to pass that way." You know, it takes effort to push through a crowd. The Bible made mention, and I think it's funny, it made special interest. You know, everything in the Bible is there for a reason. It said that he was short of stature. It takes effort. Sometimes we face difficulties. Sometimes it takes another step. I wanted to point our attention to those who might have made that extra effort to get to Jesus. What about the woman with the issue of blood? Here is a woman who has had a disease for 12 years. She is sick in body. She has lost everything that she has. She's paid the doctors and they have not been able to do anything for her. And when she heard that Jesus was coming, she said, "If I could but touch the hem of his garment, I might be made whole." And she pressed through the crowd. Here's a man of power and of importance. But instead of fighting, or instead of pushing his way to see Jesus, all again he really wanted was just to see him. He wasn't desiring anything from him. He just wanted to see what the attention was about. But here is someone who has heard the stories just as Zacchaeus has heard. Here is someone that has heard the report of all of the healings. Here is someone who has heard the report of everything that Christ has done. And this woman with the issue of blood, instead of being content to find a comfortable place with all of the pain in her body, with all of the affliction, she made her way through the crowd. And when she got to him, with little effort that she had left, she barely touched him. But it was her effort. It was her desire. It was the passion that she had and the pursuit to realize that Jesus Christ was the answer that she needed, and she was made whole because of her faith. This morning, I'm preaching about finding Jesus as a Savior. You see, Zacchaeus didn't realize yet that what he really needed in his life was an encounter with Jesus Christ to transform his life. Up until now, he was hated. Up until now, he was a thief. Up until now, he was rotten. But if he would have only known, what he's about to find out is that Jesus was the answer. This woman with the issue of blood realized that Jesus was the answer. This morning you might be searching in your life and you can't fill the void. I want to tell you this morning, Jesus is the answer, and he's coming your way this morning. Don't find a place of comfort. Don't stay in your pew. Get out and get a hold of Jesus this morning. Zacchaeus was interested, but instead of going to Jesus, he ran ahead to find a place of comfort. It was easier just to climb a tree so he could get a good view than it was to actually make his way through the crowd to get to the Lord. Jesus was the one who had been healing. And so it makes sense. If I'm short, I want to find a place that I can get a good view. But he failed to realize that it wasn't just about seeing him. You see, his desire is still wrong. It's more than just hearing about Christ. It's more than just seeing him pass through healing others. I've thought about that many times when we'll be at youth camp And I'll see lives, young people who I know the things that they're going through and the struggles that they're up against and the home life that they're facing. And Jesus and His Spirit will just come by and He will begin to touch folks. And even in a service, we can see that God will come by and begin to minister all across the house. And we know that there are those in our services who are in need of a touch from the Master. Those who are in need of a life-altering touch from Jesus. And yet instead of going to where Jesus is, they find a place of comfort. They find something that they're used to. That comfort zone is real to them. And so instead of getting out in faith, instead of pressing in and seeing that Jesus might touch their lives as well, they run on ahead and let everyone else get the blessing. They let everyone else get touched by the Lord. They let everyone else feel the ministry of Christ in their spirit. And all they do is sit and watch as others get blessed. That's what Zacchaeus was doing. He only wanted to see this spectacle. He had no desire to be touched himself. It's easier to find a good seat sometimes and watch others be blessed than it is to put forth the effort to get to Christ. But thirdly, I want to draw our attention to one thing. And I am thankful for this point. Jesus knows where we're at. Hallelujah. Here is a man who has had, he's had desire, and he's had just interest. He's found a comfortable place. But that's all he was looking for. But Jesus knew where he was. And as Jesus passed by, Jesus lifted up his eyes. Verse 5 says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And Zacchaeus thankfully made haste and came down and received him joyfully. How many times has the Lord graced our aisles? How many times has the Lord's presence swept through our pew? Knocking at our heart, knocking at our spirit, drawing us to Him. How many times has the Lord asked us to come down and to meet with Him? How many times has the Lord asked us to get out of our comfort zone because He wants to dwell in our house? He wants to dwell with us and to fellowship with us. And thankfully, although Zacchaeus had not intended that day, when Christ looked up, He knew who Zacchaeus was. The Lord knows who you are this morning. Zacchaeus, he was just another face in the crowd. He was just another man at that point. But the Lord knew who he was, and as God was walking down the road, he lifted up his eyes and he spoke to the man by name. He knows you this morning, and he's walking down the aisle knowing who you are, and he's asking you this morning, would you come and open up your house? I would love to fellowship with you this morning, and that fellowship will continue throughout all eternity if we allow him into our hearts this morning. He had desire now, and he surrendered to Jesus. Our pride sometimes withholds us from surrender. But I will say with 100% assuredness, when I surrendered to Jesus Christ, it was the best decision I ever made. You see, what we fail to realize is if we are not serving Christ, we're already serving the enemy. We have already surrendered our flesh and our will over to the enemy, but when we become a Christian, when we surrender our lives to Christ, where before we had a taskmaster and a slave driver who abused and treated us with hate and contempt, we now have a master whose nail-pierced hands hold us when we are weary and whose love wraps around us. I was reading the Song of Solomon where he said, he brought me into his banqueting table and his banner over me is love. I traded in my slave driver for a master of love. I surrendered my heart, and it was the best decision I ever made. When the Lord said to come down out of the place that I was, He lifted me up. Hallelujah. He put me in heavenly places. This morning, the Lord is wanting you to know that if you would get out of where you're at, He's already there. Amen. To change your life. Hallelujah. He knew who Zacchaeus was, and He gave him a divine invitation to come. It scares me. I've had a friend on my heart the last several months who has not surrendered his life to the Lord. And he said, I'm just not ready. But one day when I'm ready, I'll give my heart to Christ. And I thought, we're never promised another moment. This morning, this is an opportunity. If you don't know who Jesus is, this is a divine opportunity to find Him as your Savior. We are not promised tomorrow. The Bible says, what is your life? It is but a vapor. It appeareth for a moment and vanishes away quickly. I want to have the music come now. Jesus changed Zacchaeus' life. I want to read some verses down. I didn't read them in my text, but I want to read them to you this morning. Verse number 6 says, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, who is the they? That's that crowd. The crowd that was so spiritual. The crowd that was so pious. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that Jesus was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I will restore him fourfold. That's salvation. That's a change. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he is also, or also is a son of Abraham. Verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus was lost in the crowd. Zacchaeus was lost in his desires, in his lifestyle. But the Lord knew right where he was from the very beginning. This morning you may feel lost. If you don't know Christ, I want to be honest with you, and don't take this the wrong way, but you are lost. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you are lost. The Bible describes it as darkness. But just as Zacchaeus was a lying, thieving, no good tax collector, there's a reason the folks hated him in that city. There's a reason when Jesus went to the house, they said, look at him, he's eating with sinners. He's doing it today still. Jesus loves you this morning. Just as Zacchaeus was a rotten man, Christ came to him because he loved him. I want you to know the Lord loves you this morning. And if you'll be more than interested, if you will invite Christ into your heart, if you will ask Him to come in to change your life, this morning you will find that the change that happened in Zacchaeus will be the same transformation that happens in your life. God can change us. He loves us this morning. I want us to stand. And I want to make an altar call this morning. If you're here and you're honest before the Lord, you don't know who Jesus is as your Savior, maybe you've loved Him before, maybe you've been in a relationship before, but you've walked away, you can renew that relationship today. I want to invite you to come this morning. These steps we use as an altar. If you'll come, there will be folks here that would be willing and love to pray with you. Is there anyone this morning? I don't want to waste any time. If you're here this morning, you want to come and give your life to Christ. You are more than interested. You want to be changed like Zacchaeus. Would you come this morning? Is there anyone? Is there anyone this morning? You need a life transformation. Will you come? Will you come? Oh, Jesus, speak to hearts this morning. All right, church, how many of you can lift your hand and say, Brother Brian, I have been transformed. I have been changed by this salvation experience all across the house. Why don't we come find a place to pray and let's rejoice in the salvation that God has given us this morning. If you're here and you're not a Christian, I want you to come with these that are coming. Find a place to pray. Let's come all across the house. Let's come find a place to pray this morning. Let's thank our Lord and Savior for saving us, for delivering us, for changing our lives. Oh, thank you, Jesus.